Hi, I'm Roberta Jordan, the Outreach and Instruction Librarian at Patton Free Library in Bath, Maine. You're listening to City of Ships, a podcast about the people, places, and stories of Midcoast Maine. If you're a resident of or a frequent visitor to one of the towns in our service area, Bath, West Bath, Woolwich, Arousic, and Georgetown, we hope that each and every episode of the podcast will help you learn about someone or something new. As always, we're grateful to the Maine Humanities Council for the grant that purchased our podcast equipment and which makes City of Ships possible. This episode comes to you courtesy of the students of the Academy program of Morse High School in Bath and their teacher, Mary Parker. The Academy is an alternative for students who want to learn in a non-traditional classroom setting. Through the program, Ms. Parker offers varied hands-on and flexible instructional methods in small classes with an emphasis on inquiry and real-life application of knowledge and skills. Academy students can be seen all over town, learning about everything from local architecture to the service experiences of area veterans. They've built and installed little free libraries, and they help to take care of local cemeteries. This year, Ms. Parker has developed a year-long project that involves writing poetry. Most recently, her class came to the library to begin work on a poem about a place they love, or about an important memory of a place they've been, preferably one that's outdoors. To get them inspired to write about the place they chose, we listened to a famous poem by James Wright called Lying in a Hammock at William Duffy's Farm in Pine Island, Minnesota. It's pretty remarkable how much observation and emotion Wright packs into a very few lines. At this point, I should introduce you to this week's podcast host, Cree Krell. He works in the school district's technology department, and he has a great radio voice. He's going to talk with six different Academy students about the poems they've written, but first he'll read the original version of Wright's poem. Thanks to Wesleyan University Press for granting permission for the reading. And thank you, Cree.
Thanks, Roberta. I'm Cree Krell, and we're going to start off today with a reading of James Wright's poem, Lying in a Hammock at William Duffy's Farm in Pine Island, Minnesota. So here we go. Over my head, I see the bronze butterfly asleep on the black trunk, blowing like a leaf in green shadow. Down the ravine, behind the empty house, the cowbells follow one another into the distances of the afternoon. To my right, in a field of sunlight between two pines, the droppings of last year's horses blaze up into golden stones. I lean back as the evening darkens and comes on. A chicken hawk floats over, looking for home. I have wasted my life. So there it is. So I'm joined here today by five sophomores from Morse High School, Caden Goodman, Paul Tuttle, Aria Casada, Afton Nace, and Logan Kane. Each of them will, in the course of this podcast, read their own poems. But we're going to start off a little bit by talking about this poem from by James Wright. How was this poem introduced in your classroom is the first question that comes to mind for me.
I'm Afton, and we actually read the poem and kind of did a little exercise on it when we walked down to the library.
So I heard actually through the grapevine that you saw a video, I believe, at the library. Is that right?
Yeah. It was kind of like an audio where Robert Pattinson was kind of reading the poem aloud.
Huh. Yeah. And then you did classwork on top of this, right?
Yes. We had a paper that kind of asked us different questions about like what we like thought about it and this kind of that type of stuff.
That's great. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about what this poem brings up for you guys. Would anyone like to talk about what the poem brought up for them?
I'm Aria Casada. Actually, when the narrator was talking about what it was like laying in the hammock and that he said he wasted his life, I kind of felt that because it seemed like he had a hint of regret in his voice of some of the things that he's done, and I feel like some of the things that I've done have resonated with that. Kind of made me feel a little sad, and I felt the guy's feelings. He's basically just sitting there reflecting on what was happening in his life, and I sit and reflect on my life sometimes. It gets pretty deep like that, so yeah.
Thank you. That's good. I have to say, like, it's been about 30 years since I read this poem, and I was not prepared for the last line, because probably once a week that sentence runs through my mind, like, I have wasted my life. Like, it's... Anyways, it's one of those sentences that I think you can't escape when you reach middle age. You're like, huh, what are the choices that I've made in my life, and how have they added up, and what am I doing with the rest of my life? Let's move on to your poems, which are, we're going to start with you, Aria. Your poem is entitled Yugen. What can you tell us about that? It's an interesting word. I believe it's Japanese, right?
Yeah. The word is a noun, and it's the meaning is profound awareness of the universe that triggers feelings too deep and mysterious for words. I picked that because as I go around in the room where I am, I feel feelings that are buried down deep inside me, and it's hard to describe them, so I like that word a lot. It was kind of hard finding a title for it because I really wanted something that tied into where I am, which is Japan, so I like that word a lot.
You were an exchange student there, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a Basuguru program for students, and I stayed there for about 14 days. We stay with a host family over there, and I was there for 2 days in Tokyo, and then we went and traveled on a train to Aomori in Japan, and it was quite an experience. You get to go and travel to different places, tourist sites and museum places of culture, other places, and we get to try a lot of things food-wise and museum. We went to a museum, things like that.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, would you like to read us your poem?
Sure. This is Yugen. Waking up alone in a room that isn't my own, in a place that isn't my home. Sunlight streams through the window, growing weaker with every minute that passes. A breeze finds its way in, rousing the wind chime. A spark of wonder makes me want to get up, making my way to the window. I've started my day late. I laugh to myself, thinking of all the time I've wasted. The room is warm, the sky outside is clear. Rice paddies and houses span out for miles under the lazy sun. To the right, the town gets ready to close up for the day. Everything is tired. The wind dulls down to a whisper. Birds call for the ending of the day, flying around making final errands before retiring to the nest. I remain at the window, silent and still. In my gaze, the wind chime moves in the soft breeze, becoming a dancer in my eyes. It moves as if it were alive, filling me with an emotion I can't explain. I become more thoughtful, shifting to the things in the room, seeing pieces of my host family. A feeling of tranquility fills me. This moment should never end.
Thank you. I love that image of the birds calling up, you know, for the end of the day. It's fascinating how in this poem you talk about, like, you're seeing a lot of things happening, but you're... not exactly spectating. You're more like witnessing the end of the day, and I think you talked about it in your intro that oftentimes you find yourself seeing things and it brings up feelings inside you that are hard to name. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the? I think that moment of reflection at the end you captured very beautifully. Can you tell us more about it?
I kind of got lost in where I was because I was already out of place in the day. My host family had taken off for the day, left me there because I was feeling a little sick, so out of place is how I felt. And I was just there observing my surroundings because I felt like watching and looking, feeling calm, feeling like not moving or doing anything very much, observing what I usually do, except for in a different setting. And I don't think I had a set thing of what I was trying to do. I was just wandering around, having thoughts about where I was, because I thought it was quite an experience being there, and there was a lot of joy of being there and experiencing these things. So I like to take a moment and reflect.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. Thank you. Our next poem is from Afton Nace. Afton, your poem is entitled Safe Haven. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about it before we get started on that?
It's just kind of a place where I feel like the safest and kind of the most calm, because everything in life gets very crazy sometimes, and it's hard to just find a place or somewhere where you can just go to relax and kind of take a breather.
I can understand that. Why don't you go right into it?
Okay. My poem's called Safe Haven. I'm sitting in the green grass, watching it blow from side to side as the soft, warm air blows through each blade. With a crab apple tree overhead helping to shade me from the summer sun as its branches slowly sway in the wind. But in the near, not so far distance, my horse is feasting on the summer grass that will soon disappear once winter arrives. He takes advantage of the warm, sweet hay that is scattered around the pasture. The sound of the clattering metal from the round pen distracts me out of a trance. I somehow find my way to my feet. As soon as I do, it's as if the breeze takes me away. I find myself next to my horse. Ever so slowly, I gently lay my head on him, careful not to spook him. I can hear each deep breath he takes as he shifts his weight to find a new patch of grazing area. I am sure of the first thing in my life, and that is how I want my forever to be, far away from the stress of reality. This will be my forever safe place. This is my safe haven.
Thank you. Thank you. So you've got a place in this poem, right? But there's also this partner you have in this place, which is your horse. Can you tell us a little bit about your horse?
So I've had him since I was like 8. And when I would like lose friends, like it's almost as a sense that something that was always there. And I don't know, like when I would go and see him, it's really hard to explain, but like I could be having such a bad day, and I would like go and see him, and it was kind of as if like he could feel that I was sad, and he kind of like, I don't know, in a way like soaked it up, I guess. And it just kind of made things better, I guess.
Yeah. I've heard people who, just full disclosure, I've never even ridden on a horse. But I've heard people who do have relationships with horses, they say that they're incredibly perceptive. And the other piece about your poem that struck me was that there's this this peacefulness that's kind of fleeting. Like even as you recognize that you feel there, I get the sense that you're watching it, you're waiting for it to leave. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Our next poem is from Paul Tuttle. Paul, your poem is entitled A Calm Day in the Woods. What can you tell us about how you came to write this poem?
Well, I was like, I gotta write a poem. Let's just think back to when I was like really young, thinking of a fun time I had with me and my brother. But my brother's not mentioned in this. And it's just me, just having a calm day in the woods. In the snow.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't you share your poem with us?
All right. Poem's called The Calm Day in the Woods. In the woods behind my house after a snowstorm, it's midday and I'm lying down in the snow looking at the treetops. Overhead, I see trees swaying back and forth trying to knock the snow off. Right after the tree line, I see an open prairie. And to the right, I see my old Polaris snowmobile and some tree stumps. As I lay there, I can hear squirrels jump from tree to tree and the soft crunch of the snow they leave behind. Off in the distance, I can slightly see a deer with small specks of snow on her back. I walk calmly up to the deer and pet the deer's rough fur. Then I slowly walk back to my snowmobile and ride home. At a soft speed.
Thank you. Paul, there is so much gentleness in this poem, like the imagery of the swaying trees and the deer. And, I mean, you may be the only person ever to say that they've ridden a snowmobile at a soft speed, right? It's like there's gentleness here. And what I can't get over is this idea of petting the deer. Like, did you really pet a deer?
I did, actually.
How did that come about?
I was like really relaxed, calm. Nothing was on my nerves. I just calmly and slowly walked up to the deer, and I gently lowered my hand onto its back and started petting it. And I was like, you're a good deer.
That is amazing. I didn't know that humans could do that. That's cool. Our fourth poet today is Logan Kane. Logan, your poem is entitled The Reflection. How did you come to write this one?
It was just a random thought that came to my head.
Cool. So why don't you jump into your poem, and we can talk about it a little bit when you're done.
The title is The Reflection. The bright blue sky with the sun beating down, reflecting off the painted rock. The wind howling and blowing, the leaves falling and twisting. On the wheeler I sit, the bent bars I see, the new grips I feel, and the crisp sound I hear. To the movement of the wind, to the revving of the machine, from the right to the left, as far as you can see, a dirt road leads to some bad, but some good memories. Give respect to the people who have passed, to the people who ride, don't forget who's died.
Thank you. I love the visceral qualities in your poem, you know, the revving of the machine and the crisp sound and the movement of the wind. How did you come to choose writing as the activity in your poem?
Writing just like calms me down and makes me feel good.
And there's also some sadness in there, some melancholy. You know, you're talking about people who have died and who've passed on. What were there specific memories that you had in mind, or what were you thinking about when you wrote that?
Just like the friend who's passed from writing and dying.
Yeah, it's a dangerous activity, but you know, thrilling all the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much. Our final poem today is by Caden Goodman, and it's entitled The Golden Highlands. In this one, we travel to Scotland. Caden, tell us a little bit about Scotland. How many times have you been?
I've been there about 3 times.
No kidding. Yeah. What do you always go to the same place?
Yep, with my grandmother.
Excellent. Why don't you read us your poem now?
The title is The Golden Highlands. As I stood on the rocks overlooking the Scottish Highlands, the light breeze felt like I was drifting in the air like a golden eagle. Above my head, my Nana's angel soaring through the clouds. In the distance, I see a herd of cattle feeding on the grass. To the right of me, the beautiful scenery of Loch Ness with its myth and mysteries. The sound of the wind and the waves of the Atlantic. Sheep bellowing out to one another at the top of the cliff, the golden sunset rained over the valley with rays of despair. As I walk towards the cliffside, the valley grows darker and the cliff grows brighter. I began to sit down on the cliff facing the Atlantic and realizing that life has something waiting for everyone.
Thank you, Caden. That was really cool. The part that there's a transformation that takes place in this poem that strikes me. It actually starts off kind of sad. You talk like rays of despair, but I guess what I'm getting at is I didn't see the ending coming at all. Like how did you come to that place where you had this feeling of potential about life?
Well, you know, from the beginning, with the rays of despair, my grandmother, she passed away in January of this year. So kind of to put that out to her, because like that was my last time. And as the year went on to this month, I kind of thought like life was kind of getting better because she wasn't there. She was always looking down on me, kind of being good. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry to hear about that. That's it's a beautiful sentiment you've got there in your poem. It makes sense. Well, thank you, Caden, and thank you all for joining me today to read your poems. For City of Ships, I'm Cree Krull, and tune in next time.
City of Ships is a production of the Patent Free Library in Bath, Maine, and is made possible by a grant from the Maine Humanities Council. Morse High School student Oscar Hennen wrote and recorded our music tracks. Thanks to everyone who participated in this episode. We hope to have another for you in a few weeks.